Hey, and welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. We've got a lot to talk about going on in the Big Ten. It is the Power Rankings basketball episode, and we are going to be power ranking the basketball teams. And if you thought it was easy, you should try doing this at some point, because this was incredibly difficult to do. Kent, did you get a headache when you were doing this like me?
I did. I was up. I finished, I think, last night at 2 a.m. The thing is, like, I don't know if people understand. I actually really try hard to be fair to every team when it comes to these. I know that you do too. It is so hard, especially at this point in the season where everybody basically, the wins and losses, you have to weigh against like non-conference opponents that we don't know it. Like, at least me, I don't know a ton about.
Yep.
And we don't know who's good. We don't know who's bad yet. So like, it's really difficult at this point. So I'm trying to use a little bit of like, what has happened in the Big Ten so far, and it's just really tough, man.
Well, not to mention, like, there are so many different numbers that can be used too. Like, that's the most common thing that I get in the comment section, is people saying like, oh, well, you know, this this team is this and net, and then I'm like, well, this team is this in KenPom, and they're like, oh, well, KenPom sucks, don't use that. It's like, okay, but I do. So like,
yeah,
it's all about what you value and what you think is good and what you think is not good. Yeah, it's incredibly difficult. So
someone in the comments last week said that my wife was having an affair with me with someone from Oregon. That's why I don't rank Oregon higher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I saw that. I do read the comments back like the next day. So I saw that, whoever said that. I don't think that happened. I mean, it's possible, I guess. But that's not the reason that I do it, though.
See, just to be clear, you don't know about it. So
if it's happening, I don't know about it, and that's not why I rank Oregon lower than other teams.
Yeah, you're not saying it's not possible. You're just right. Saying you don't know, so you can't
totally
go off that.
Yeah. Totally, exactly. Yeah, he might be right. Like whoever said that, I can't remember his name, but like he might be right about it. But again, like that's just not the reason why.
Well, I would think Oregon fans would be a little less spicy right now. You know, they just won the Big Ten in football, but, you know, they're going for the all-out dominance. And we did keep Oregon pretty high in our rankings. I kept them up there in the top two. They were one for me last week, and they went down to two. And I don't know, where did you have them last week? Do you remember?
I had them at two last week.
Okay.
And just moved them down one spot. And, I still think that they're – three is good, by the way. Like, moving them down to three is, like, super good, I think. That's still a solid spot. And it was just because I simply could not have them in front of UCLA after last night. Like, there's the head-to-head matchup, and they lost on their home floor to somebody. So, like, and it's not like UCLA is bad either. I couldn't, like, keep UCLA behind because of that. But anyways, we'll get into it, though.
Yeah, we will. First, Philip has breaking news for you. Good authority that Kent's wife is having an affair with hooligan Bro Cash.
Oh, no. Oh, no. This is bad news.
Bad news. Bad news.
Oh, by the way, before we get started, Sonny just tweeted this out, so I feel like I can say it on the show, too. It's my birthday today, so you can say whatever mean thing you want to me in the comments, but you have to end it by saying happy birthday. So you can say, like, you're terrible at this, you're horrible at power rankings, you don't know ball. Happy birthday, though. At the end, you have to, right?
Yeah, no, you have to. That's the rule.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if do a show on your birthday, you are coming here on your birthday. You could be doing so many other things instead of
there's
doing
nowhere
this
else
show.
I'd rather be. Exactly. Nowhere else I'd rather be.
Other than getting comments that are insulting from random people on the internet you don't know that are ending it with happy birthday.
Totally.
Except Philip and John. We know Philip and John. John's excited. Good morning, everyone. Indiana finally plays their first conference game of the year. Yeah, are they the last team to play a conference game?
Yeah, they are. And I kind of mentioned this last week, is like, just in general, they're not playing very many games right now. They must have like backloaded their schedule. I don't understand that. But yeah, finally get to see them play a conference game. Finally get to see them play. It seems like it's been a month since they played. I mean, it's so weird.
Like, they played two games last week, which was just as many as anybody else, but
I guess it's because I just didn't really pay attention to those games because
they played two crappy teams. So
yeah, exactly. Maybe that's why.
You know, if they would have lost, it would have been really, really, really big news, and everybody would have been talking about it. But the fact that they won, it's like, you know, not that big of a deal. So Indiana they are the only team to not play a conference game yet. Everybody else has played two or one. Rutgers, Minnesota, Nebraska, Illinois, and Wisconsin have all played one. Everybody else has played two. So, slackers. Just kidding. All right, Kent. Let's start from the bottom. Let's do the bottom this time.
Let's do it.
We have a lot to talk about with UCLA and Penn State, so let's like load it up. There we go.
You're just reading the comments.
Yeah. All right. Kent, we agree Washington, Minnesota, USC in the bottom. Were you surprised to see USC just absolutely obliterate Washington in that game?
No, not at all. I think I said last week that Washington had a chance against USC, but not UCLA, you know, throughout the, because those were their two games this week. And they had no shot against UCLA, like I said, but I thought that that was, if they really wanted to impress me, they were going to have to beat USC, because I don't think USC is very good either, but not surprised at all. Like, I think that Washington is that bad. I think they're clearly the worst team. I got to look at their schedule and see if they play Minnesota, because that's going to be a great game for all the wrong reasons. But I think Minnesota, it has a of those three teams, I think that Minnesota is the only team that has a chance to like work its way up near the top 10. I don't think USC or Washington will sniff it for me this year at all.
John, I'm feeling so optimistic. Washington, Minnesota, worst teams in the Big Ten by a mile. Wash IU is to Minnesota tonight.
They might, though, by the way.
I mean, it is at home for Indiana, so I feel better about it, but it could happen. Washington plays Minnesota on February 1st, so we got a little ways before we get there.
Mark it on your calendars, people. Game of the year right there, Washington, Minnesota, February 1st. Don't plan anything that day.
At Minnesota, too. So.
Ooh, at the barn. Let's go. Let's go to that game.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to hold a game of the year anywhere else. So.
Yeah. Sickos basketball community. Let's meet up in Minnesota.
This is a new territory here. Sunny is acknowledging you on the show here, Kent.
Really is, though. Like, he's only going to do this once a year. So I appreciate it, Sunny. Thanks, man.
It's just for the one time this year.
You know what I was thinking about right before we came on? And I know we're actually going to talk about basketball, but I feel like people would borderline pay a small fee just to have access to what you, me, and Sonny text throughout the week.
Yeah, I would.
It's never going to get released, but.
Yeah, like just watch our text messages go.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite things I have in my life right now is texting with you guys at the same time.
Anytime there's a Big Ten game coming on, I know we're about to be texting about it and having a good time. So yeah. That Illinois Northwestern game, that was some of the best texting we've ever had during a basketball game. So
which one was it? I forgot already.
Illinois Northwestern.
Oh yeah. The thing was too, we had to go completely offline like towards the end of that game because we knew Sonny was probably mad.
Yeah, well, he had to go to Locked On too and do his.
Yeah, that's true. So.
All right, let's talk about Iowa, okay? You have Iowa up at 12th. I have Iowa down at 15th. I felt like Iowa kind of, I don't want to say it was lucky. Obviously, they deserved to beat Northwestern, but, you know, Northwestern did what they were supposed to do to win that game at the end, and Iowa just hit a big shot. Congrats to Iowa. But at the end of the day, I felt like Northwestern was the better team in that game. And then, like, yeah, they played hard against Michigan, but Michigan, I still felt like that was the better team in that game. It was at home for Michigan, but I couldn't see very much reasoning for moving Iowa down, and there were too many other teams that I felt like needed to be moved up.
Yeah, that was, I'm glad you brought up Iowa here at the top, because I think that I'm trying to read and talk at the same time.
It's hard to do.
I think that Iowa was the hardest team for me to rank this week because of everything that you just said, because they actually did beat Northwestern. So you have to give them credit for that. And I wanted to move Northwestern way up because of their big win. So I struggled with saying, like, can I put Iowa in front of Northwestern and move them both up? Or do I say what I always say and go, well, Northwestern really was really close in that game and it was on the road for them. So going back to my normal default, you know, tiebreaker, who would win on a neutral floor? I think it's Northwestern. So I can still justifiably say Northwestern's better than Iowa. But then also what you just said, they came back and they almost pulled off another thriller at Michigan. So it's like, well, maybe this team's not that bad. But then you look at like it's Utah State, right? Was one of their losses. And it's like, man, maybe they are bad. So I really struggled with Iowa and kind of, you know, did what you just said. I thought that there was teams that did more to be able to get moved up in front of them and just let Iowa land wherever they fell at that point and was okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the Big Ten this year, there's only three bad teams. Like, everybody else, I feel like, is a good or to average team. I mean, obviously, very good to average team. I don't think we have any elite teams in the conference this year. I don't think there's a team that is going to go, you know, like, what is it, 16-2 or something like that, you know, like Purdue has done the past couple of years. But at the same time, like, I don't think there's very many teams that they're just going to lose every single conference game. Like Minnesota and Washington, I could see them only winning four or five conference games this year. I think USC is probably going to win a couple more than that. But everybody else, like, I feel like they're going to hover right around 8-9 wins at the very least, and it's going to be a competitive conference where you have teams like Northwestern beating Illinois, where Northwestern had a good game plan. They came into that one, and in overtime, they came alive and won. I know we're not talking about Northwestern right now. I'm just using them as an example, but, you know, that's just kind of the nature of it all. So when I rank Iowa 15th, I'm not saying Iowa's bad. I'm just saying right now, as the way we look at it, Iowa's the 15th best team in the conference, but they could very well come out and beat who they play next week, Michigan State or somebody next week. And, you know, they could be looking like one of the best teams in the conference, just kind of the way the conference is.
They could definitely beat Michigan State. It feels like the last couple of years I'd have to go back and look at the results exactly, but I keep remembering that one game where I think Michigan State was up by like 10 at Carver, and they like came back and won that game in overtime or whatever. It was crazy. It seems like Iowa has their number just in my mind, but I could be wrong about that. And also, like, to piggyback on your point, during the football season when we did power rankings, it felt like there were some like clear lines of demarcation. Like there was like these four teams that are really good and then a huge drop off. In basketball, the lines are really blurred to me right now. There's some really good teams, there's some good teams, and then there's some kind of good teams. It's crazy. And then the only real like hard line in the sand is what you just said. And when you get down to number 15 and then those last three teams, it seems like are clearly like the three worst to me. Yeah. But everything else is really blurry right now because everyone's so strong.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's talk about Ohio State now. You have them 14th. I have them 13th. I think Ohio State is a prime example of that, where they have a lot of good players on their team, and I think they have a very good backcourt, but Michi Johnson isn't playing like it right now, and then not having Aaron Bradshaw has left a hole at their five spot, which they were able to rectify that against Rutgers, so congrats to them. But they just got absolutely obliterated by Maryland, so I couldn't really find a way to do all that much for Ohio State this week when Rutgers only played one game this week. It was a loss to Ohio State. Now, granted, it was at Ohio State. And then the other game they played, they just got absolutely obliterated by Maryland, who I think is good, but I don't have enough data points to rank them much higher than 10th right now. Like, I see why you put them 8th, a little bit higher than I had them. You know, do I think they're probably a better team than Indiana? Yeah, but Indiana also didn't lose this week. I didn't have a reasoning for pushing Indiana down. I know I just talked about a bunch of teams right there, but take it whatever direction you want.
I'll talk about all the same teams. I can keep up, man. Ohio State to start, I had to bump them down because of the Maryland game. I know it's on the road, but they got embarrassed. Like, that was insane. I couldn't even believe the score. I don't think anyone could, how bad it was. And really, like, I feel like the final score, I'm trying to look at it right now, was a little bit closer than what the game actually was, even though
it was like 83-59, I think.
Yeah, and even that, you're like, okay, it's a blowout, but it's like, it was even worse than that, it felt like at times, you know, even at halftime. But so I had to bump them down for that. And then, like, like you said, bouncing back against Rutgers. What is Rutgers, though, right now? I'm so confused. Like, the Kennesaw State loss, like, I can't get that taste out of my mouth. And then they just haven't really done anything that's like that gets me excited as excited as I was going into the season, saying, hey, they got two lottery picks. We're going to really have to be on Rutgers. Like, they're going to be really good this year. They're going to figure it out like almost instantly. Well, if they're going to figure it out, it's going to take a while. So I don't know how good that win even is, you know, coming back at home and getting that win and bouncing back. And then Maryland, you know, obviously, like I just said, the big blowout against Ohio State. But also, I felt like they did everything right yesterday in the Purdue game except for a win. Like, that's the one arena. Like, even in the UCLA Oregon game last night, they were talking about Mackey, like, which is crazy because maybe it's because, like, you know, some of the fans that watch that game don't even really know about some of the arenas, and they were talking about, like, how hard it's going to be for some of the West Coast teams to win on the road, and they haven't seen environments like this, and Mackey was the one that they brought up. It is, like, the hardest place to win in the Big Ten. It really is. So for Maryland to go in there and basically go toe-to-toe with Purdue, and had it not been for Braden Smith basically, like, putting the team on his back and hitting every shot, it felt like, especially in the second half, I think Maryland wins that game. So I gave them a little bit of credit for a loss, which maybe I shouldn't do, but it was at the hardest arena in the Big Ten. They still played really well, and then they also have that blowout win to Ohio State, or against Ohio State. So that's why I kind of bumped Maryland up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think it totally makes sense. I mean, I bumped them up, I think, two or three spots. And honestly, in a different week, like, I probably could have bumped them up a little bit higher. But all the teams that I had in front of them did, you know, pretty well except for Ohio State and Rutgers. So, Indiana, they won both their games. We can talk about Indiana and their issues they have. John's pointing them out in the chat. Not only is it a coaching issue, effort issues right now, but I'd like to see what those effort issues look like against better teams, because I think, you know, you play up a little bit more. And right now, Indiana, they aren't playing very many big games. This is the problem you have when you don't schedule like Purdue and Michigan State and Ohio State is scheduling like right now. These, like, other teams are having a hard time trying to get their guys up for the entire season because you're playing Miami of Ohio. Like, you don't get up for those games as much. So I put that more on Mike Woodson or whoever's making the schedules and saying, like, why are you still playing, like, back-to-back cupcake games? Like, you should be playing better teams at this point. And I know they'll start playing better teams later on in the conference, but still, like, that could be a part of it. And then,
Though. Like, they have to play the Big Ten team. So it's not like that's Mike Woodson's choice. Like, oh, we're still going to have a tough schedule. Like, no, you didn't. You didn't schedule a tough schedule. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. I just had a brain fart there for a second. And so, like, the only other team above them that I moved below them was Nebraska, because Nebraska lost to, Michigan State. And they absolutely got blown out by Michigan State. If they would have just, like, lost, like, close game, I probably wouldn't have moved them down as much. But they got absolutely blown out by Michigan State. So, like, everybody else in front of them, like I said, Indiana won their games. Michigan won both their games. Penn State upsets Purdue. Am I really going to move Maryland over Illinois for Illinois losing in overtime against Northwestern at Northwestern? Am I really going to move them below Purdue for losing at Penn State? Am I really going to move them below Wisconsin for losing to Michigan and at Marquette? Like, at a certain point, like, I am impressed with Maryland, but I don't think a loss can move them that much higher for me.
I hear you.
In front of Wisconsin, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. I don't know. Like, to me, it was like a little bit of a mix of, like, which team is the team that I think is going to win, like, at the Big Ten tournament, for example, like, at the neutral, like, at the end of the year, or even right now, like, if they played tonight in Indy, who would win? Why is the sun coming out in the middle of the show now? I had a perfectly cloudy day. Now it looks like I'm on the surface of the sun all of a sudden. Anyways,
the sun, just like last week.
Yeah. But I forgot what I was saying, but I like I said, who's winning on the neutral court? And I think that Maryland had a good week, even with the loss. Because like I said, I think that game was a little bit closer and they competed with Purdue, which I wasn't expecting them to do going into the season. I thought that Purdue was a much better team than them. And, Derek Queen's way better than I thought he was going to be. And he kind of owned down low, I thought, throughout the game. And I'll go back to what I just said at the beginning of talking about yesterday's game. Braden Smith hit everything, it felt like, in the second half. He hit two massive three-pointers when the game was really tight. I can't remember the exact numbers. It was 1 2-point game, and he was hitting back-to-back every shot, it felt like, and kind of willed them to that victory. So I think Maryland's just, like, right there. They're right on the cusp of being, like, a great team in this conference. And I think if it if a couple of those shots misses for Smith yesterday, we're talking about Maryland even more positively than I am right now. So
if Maryland would have won that game yesterday, I would have had to probably put them up with like Penn State and UCLA where I have them, right? I mean, I moved Michigan up a couple spots because Michigan won at the Kohl Center, which is a really tough place to play, and I felt like I had to put Michigan over Wisconsin after that. But then we are getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. We'll still talk about Illinois and Indiana in a minute, but let's talk about Michigan just for a second before we backtrack to them. But Michigan wins that, and then Michigan wins a close one against Iowa. I don't think it should have been close. I think that Michigan was a better team, but at the end of the day, that was a close game, and they had to do what they had to do to come out with the win. What were your thoughts on Michigan? I mean, you moved them up even higher than me. You have them up to fourth.
Yeah, I moved them up significantly because of the road win, basically. And everybody always talks about, like, it's so hard to win on the road. It's so hard to win on the road. Well, they went and got a big one to start their conference season. And that's, like you said, tough place to play. Right up there near the top of the conference is, like, really hard places to go and get wins. So I gave them a lot of credit for that. And then I also kind of just looked at what's happened throughout the season for them. They're on a massive winning streak right now against what I think are good teams. You know, it's back-to-back against Xavier, Wisconsin, and Iowa. So it's like, okay, even going back into last week, now this is like a legitimate win streak early in the season for a team that or at least I'll just speak for myself, that I thought was going to take a lot longer. I thought we were going to be in like January, maybe even February, before I thought this team was going to start meshing together. They have figured it out very quickly. They started reducing the turnovers, and working that like pick and roll with the 2 7-footers is just like almost impossible to stop. So, yeah, I just gave them a lot of credit for the Wisconsin win is basically where I'm at. And massive game tomorrow for them. They're going to play Arkansas, and we'll have another data point that we can kind of say, okay, well, Illinois played Arkansas and Michigan played Arkansas. We can kind of compare those two, even though they're not going to be at the same venue. We can kind of compare those two and say, all right, where are these teams really at right now?
Yeah, I mean, it was turnovers in that Iowa game that killed Michigan. I just looked at the numbers to make sure I double-checked myself.
Second half. Second half, yeah.
Second half, but yep. More so I felt like because Iowa wasn't turning the ball over. Iowa had 4 turnovers in that game. Danny Wolf by himself had 4 turnovers overall. Ronnie Gale had 4 turnovers as well. So when you have single players on your team, you know, having the same amount of turnovers as the other team has overall for the entire game, it's really hard to win that game. Now, Iowa only had 4 turnovers.
That's really impressive. I feel like that's more of the talking point than like how many Michigan had. Like they really took care of the ball. That's probably how they got, you know, I mean, I watched the game. That's one of the reasons they got back in the game then. I just didn't realize that as I was watching it, that they were taking such good care of the ball.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, for Iowa, like as much as they didn't turn the ball over, they had more missed free throws than they had turnovers that day. So they were 10 of 17 from shooting the free throws. So I mean, you look at it and you say, you know, congrats to Iowa. Good job. You didn't turn the ball over. But I mean, if you have opportunities to hit free throws, you need to hit hit your free throws. So, and that was mostly Owen Freeman, who went 1 for 3. And then Dembele, who played 20 minutes and got 1 point. So,
yeah, I think I know we're kind of bouncing back to Iowa and going to Michigan and Iowa a little bit. But then now that I'm looking at it, I did want to bring up this point too. Like, when I was doing Iowa, I had a really hard time with them in Nebraska too. Like trying to compare those 2 seasons right now was really difficult for me. And like, I think ultimately I got Nebraska higher basically because of the Creighton win still.
Yeah.
But I still like those 2 teams, like 11 and 12 for me, Nebraska at 11 and Iowa at 12, I think are the most difficult teams to figure out at this point. Like for me, they are.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have a lot of, I still have Phillip's comment up here. Yeah, I mean, they definitely, I'm not as concerned with Iowa because Iowa doesn't have like a big win that makes me think I need to put them higher. I am having a harder time with Nebraska though, because Nebraska does have that win at Creighton, which I think is a big accomplishment for them. Now, I don't think Creighton is as good as maybe they have been before, but I still think that's a big win for them. So
yeah,
Let's transition to Illinois Northwestern. So I only moved Northwestern up to 11th. You moved them up to 9th. And then I actually have Illinois lower than you do. I moved them down to 8th. You kept them up at 7th. Talk about Illinois Northwestern, where you had them, and why you still have Illinois over Northwestern, even after the Northwestern win.
Yeah, kind of the same thing I've said about some of the other teams that I have ranked higher than a team that they lost to, but it was at Northwestern. I thought Illinois played really good in that game. I thought both teams played great. In fact, you know, like going back to the text thing, I was texting you guys that that was my favorite game of the year so far by far. Like, it was such a fun game to watch. But I thought Illinois played good enough for me to come on here and say that on a neutral floor, Illinois still wins that game. You know, Northwestern played amazing, though. So I had to bump them both up. And I just felt like, you know, I think that Illinois is still going to be a top five team at the end of the year. They're super young. They're much like Michigan in the way that they're trying to figure out like how they're all going to gel together. And it might be taking them just a little bit longer because I go back to like, they have a freshman that they're super relying on right now in Will Riley. So, and he was kind of, it felt like, you know, he didn't have a bad game. It just felt like in the moments where the game was kind of on the line, I was kind of looking for him and I didn't see him. It was all KJ, like at the end of the game. And I mean, what a game he played. He was hitting some massive shots as well. Talk about Braden Smith hitting big shots. Like, KJ wasn't missing anything. I said that he might be the best shooter I've ever seen in my entire life. I was being a little bit, you know, dramatic about it during the game, but I mean, just an awesome game. But yeah, I still feel like Illinois is the better team. And I'm pretty confident in saying that, but Northwestern played good enough for them to be able to be bumped up as well.
Yeah, I mean, we were texting about it. I do like it, but I also really hate it that Brad Underwood kept putting Ben Hemmerkhouse out there. Like, I get it, and I do think it's admirable what he said at the end of the game, which is like, I'm going to stick with my guy. I don't think my guy is going to go 1-for-9 from three again, but he also did go 1-for-9 from 3 in this game. He gave you 3 points, 5 rebounds, 3 fouls, and 39 minutes of play. Like,
and who was that again? Hemmerkhouse?
Yeah, Ben Hemmerkhouse.
Yeah, okay.
And he was the one that was shooting, other than KJ. Like, at the end of the game, it was him and KJ that were shooting. I'm like, okay, I get you keeping Hemmerkhouse in the game, but, like, do you really want him taking away shots from KJ at this point? Like, I don't know. I don't get exactly, like, what Brad Underwood was doing there. I felt like they should have got Ivisic. I'm terrible good with the enough. Names. I'm sorry. But yeah, I felt like they should have tried to get him more involved. Like, he was 2-for-5 from 3 in the game, 5-from-11 from the field. So not a great shooting day, but he was shooting better than Hemmerkhouse was.
And he had a really cool behind the back pass. Don't forget that.
He did have a really cool behind the back pass. That was pretty sweet.
Awesome.
But at the same time, like, I'm not going to take anything away from Northwestern. My concern with Northwestern is just how incredibly dependent they are on their starting five. We saw Ty Berry not have a great game in this one. I mean, it was actually really
not
bad
have
game.
A great game. JR, be a little bit more honest. He was terrible.
He was terrible. 24 minutes, 4 fouls, 1 rebound, 0 points. So he was awful. He didn't have any turnovers, so, you know, give him his credit there, but still.
No, but all the fouls, though, were like, I felt like he had money on Illinois. I was like, what is Ty Berry doing on the floor? Yeah. Like, he had to come off the floor. And then, like, this is not basketball related, but it is. They post a video after the game, and he, like, gets, like, they're all in their locker room, and, like, the whole team's around him, and, like, he does a backflip, and, like, the whole team starts going crazy. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you should be hiding in your locker right now. You play terrible, brother. Like, what were you doing?
He's just hyped for the team, bro.
And I like Ty Berry, just for the record. Like, I think he's great. I like him a lot. I think he really does want Northwestern to win. I was kind of joking about, you know, having money on Illinois, but man, he played bad. And he knew it too. Like, you could see it on his face after the third foul, I think it was. Like, he was like, man, this is just not my night. I'm not ready for this game for whatever reason. His head was not in it.
Well, that's what I said. Like, like I liked that Chris Collins took him out and didn't play him as much. He was putting him back in and see if maybe he could get going or something like that, but he never could get going. So there at the end of the game, he didn't have Ty Berry in the game. Like he ran with his guys that were actually playing well in the game. And to me, that was one of the biggest differences in the game, was that Chris Collins went with his guys that were playing well. You know, Brooks Barnheiser, Nick Martinelli, those guys. And
who's the other new kid? He had a really Leach. Awesome play. What's
Jalen
his name?
Jalen Leach.
No, there was another one, though. I'm going to look it up. But let me ask you a question. Justin, you can answer Mullins? It, and I'll look up what this kid's name is. Do you think I'm giving Northwestern too much credit for the close losses? Because that's another reason why I felt like I could move them up, because of the Iowa game, like we've already talked about, that they lost at the buzzer, because of the Butler game. It's like those games, like, all just barely didn't go Northwestern's way. So I'm like, man, that's two wins right there that, you know, that could have went the other way. And maybe even in the Iowa game should have went the other way. And maybe I'm giving them too much credit for that. Do you think I'm doing that?
I mean, I think I kind of said it last week. Like, yes, I do want to give them credit for kind of some bullcrap stuff that happened at the end of the games, and that I don't necessarily think was on them, and it was kind of more on officiating and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, you also shouldn't find yourself in those situations every single time, which, again, is easier said than done. But, like, if you want to avoid those situations, don't leave it in the hands of the ref. Don't leave it on a last possession where the ref can call something, or late in the game where the ref can give them the possession or something to give it to them. So, you know, like, it's kind of my thought process with, like, a last-second shot. Sometimes people say, oh, it was a last-second shot. Like, you shouldn't give them credit for the loss there. And it's like, well, but they also did lose. Like, it's kind of just how it goes. Like, I remember Ohio State the last 2 years, I would get so frustrated with them because they would be in close games and they would just never be able to close them out. They had the one buzzer beater against Rutgers, which shouldn't have counted because he stepped on the out of bounds line.
I forgot about that game.
But that was their one win ever late in the game that they got, and it should have never even counted. And so Ohio State was just under Chris Holtmann the last 2 years. They were never able to win a game down the stretch in the end when it was close. And for me, it was like, okay, well, be good enough that it's not close at the end, which they were never really able to do. So
the other kid I was thinking about was Justin Mullins, by the way. And I say kid because I thought he was a freshman, but he's actually a transfer from Denver. So I just didn't know where he was from. But he had a good game, even though he only had 5 points in 28 minutes. He, like, the points for Northwestern, if you're one of the other three players that are on the floor that aren't named Brooks Barnheiser or Nick Martinelli, the points almost don't matter. You just have to play good defense and not make mistakes. And he did that. So I thought that Mullins was good too. And he's like, that was a perfect spot for him to be good too, because Ty Berry had such a bad game. It's like, we need someone that can just be out there not making mistakes right now. And that's, like I said, exactly what he did. I liked what he did that game.
Yeah, added a block in this game too. So, you know, impressive from him. I've discovered a new stat called the efficiency stat, and it's one of my favorite stats now to reference. Nick Martinelli, a 25 efficiency stat. That's really good.
I was going to say, what's good?
That's like really good. 20s, 30s is really good.
So lower numbers are bad then?
Yeah, lower numbers are bad. Like Brooks Barnheiser, he had an 11 efficiency stat. He did a really good job scoring, but
11? Really? Turnovers. I felt like he was... I guess he did put up some bricks, though, too.
Yeah, and he had some missed shots. So between his turnovers and missed shots, he only had 11. Guess what Ty Berry's was?
Does it go to the negatives?
Yes.
Okay, so it's -4 then.
-2.
Okay, that was a good guess though. He was, especially because I just heard about this stat.
I know, right? He was anti-efficiency in this game.
It really was. I mean, he was though. Which,
the reason I can laugh about it is because I know Ty Berry's better than that. I don't think that's going to be something we see often from him. But
yeah,
Philip had an interesting question, and then we'll get to the top half. He says, which team is this year's Ohio State that looks great early, then falls apart? I think Michigan is fool's gold.
I disagree.
Michigan is going to have to, they are going to have to correct the turnovers if they want to remain in the top five. Like, they are not going to be able to win 12 games in the conference this year by turning the ball over 15 or more times a game. Like, they're going to have to be able to correct that.
Which, like, you know, you just brought up the Iowa one, and I guess I just didn't notice it as I was watching that game. But the two games prior to that, though, I feel like they did. Like the Wisconsin right. and the Xavier game, I felt like we saw games where they can do it. It's almost like they need to get at practice and watch film this week and just watch those two games instead of the Iowa game and say, hey, this is how we are more efficient on offense, and it's when we don't turn the ball over every single time. So I think that they will, and I do think that Michigan's going to stay being good the rest of the year. I think that my fool's gold team would be, man, that's tough.
Are you going to pick Oregon because your wife is cheating on you with a...
yes, exactly. With Dan Lanning. She's having an affair with Dan Lanning. I don't know if I'd be that mad about that. I'd be like, hey. No, I'd still be mad. I'll say Purdue.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'll say Purdue. I've seen enough like holes in their team at this point that I could see other teams that have really good coaches, which there are many in this conference, poking at those holes and getting more wins against Purdue.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that pick. It pains me to say this because I really want this team to be good, but Penn State.
Yeah, but I don't know, man.
They're what, 8-1 right now? Whatever their record is, but
yeah, they are. So the only thing that concerns me about them,
they haven't played all that many teams, and the teams they have played, they've went 1-1 against. Like they lost to Clemson, and then they did beat Purdue, but it was also at home for Penn State, and that was a game where they just did a great job running the pick and roll defense, and Ace Baldwin had Braden Smith. Like he did not want to play basketball anymore the rest of that day after that happened to him. And I don't know, like, does Ace Baldwin have that defense in him every single game? I think he has it in the majority of their games, but does he have it in him every single game? Like, I don't know. Like, for me, Penn State, like, you're going to have Ace Baldwin playing in a first team all conference level all season long on both sides of the ball in order to be a top five, top three team in the Big Ten. I think it could happen, but I'm just not confident that it will happen.
Who was the Penn State point guard when they were doing booty ball?
Was it?
I can't think of his name right now. I was trying to Google it real fast, but I can't.
I want to say Jalen Carter, but that sounds wrong.
No, that's not it. I'll figure it out, or maybe someone in the chat knows. I think that he can keep up the defense. Like, that's something that for me, I don't think that disappears. Jalen Pickett. That's exactly who it was. Good job, Phillip. Yeah. So, like, his defense reminds me of Jalen. Like, Jalen Pickett's defense never. What's up? Did I miss something?
No. You said, good job, Phillip. I said, hold on. Jalen. Phillip has a Google. Like, he can look this stuff up.
Oh, but still, though. I appreciate him doing it, though. Yeah. Appreciate it, Phillip. Jalen Pickett's defense never disappeared throughout the year, though. Like, he was able to keep it up the whole time, and I felt like he still played a high enough level point guard. Like, I don't think he's, and maybe he is because of how big he was, but I don't know if he's as skilled as Ace Baldwin is even. Like, I think Ace is better than him. So I think that, man, it's tough. I understand why you say Penn State because of the level of competition that they've played so far, but if we're going to talk about them for just a minute, the reason why I rank them number one is because their one loss was against Clemson, and I think Clemson's really good. Like, Clemson went and beat Kentucky. So,
yeah,
I feel like that's a loss that you're like, okay, that wasn't that bad of a loss. And also, we've talked about it the last couple weeks now, the lower competition, they did what we would want a really great team to do. They blew everybody out. And furthermore, I don't think anybody other than Penn State fans, and I say this based on a tweet that I put out, thought that they were going to beat Purdue. Everybody, when I put out the tweet and it said that Penn State is favored against Purdue tonight, everybody in the reply said, wow, oh my gosh, that's crazy. This is really weird. How is that happening? Vegas knows something. And then Penn State fans were like, we're going to win. And they did. So that's still, to me, even though it was at home, it was, I believe, still until they put out the new rankings, it was a top 10 win still. And to me, that was good enough to say, all right, they blew everybody out that they were supposed to. The one loss was to a really good team, and they beat Purdue. So yeah. I think they're one of the best teams, and I don't know if it's going to fall off. It might be completely wrong about that. But I think they have enough size inside. They're not relying. I don't remember their center's name off the top of my head. Is it Niemenhaus or something like that? What is it?
It's like Niederhausen. Niederhaus.
Yeah. But last year, one of the problems that they had was they were relying so much on Puff Johnson to do like a lot inside, and they don't have to do that this year. He can be that secondary post guy. Mm-hmm. You know, much like when we were just discussing Michigan, like Vlad is like that now, right? Right. Where they're not just completely relying on one post guy. So I think that this team is built well. I think that they're coached really well. The only concern I have is that I saw a tweet earlier this week that there's like this trapezoid of greatness based on your pace of play, and Penn State's is too high. And apparently if your pace is too high, there's been no teams that have a pace that high that's ever won like a championship, whether it's conference or otherwise. So I would say that that's the only thing that concerns me. But it's also my favorite reason why I like watching Penn State is because they play with a high pace. So I like them a lot, man. I'm in love with Penn State right now.
Yeah, no, like I said, I want myself to be wrong about Penn State. I look at them and I say, you know, I don't know if this team has what it takes to go and win 12, 13 games in the conference, kind of like they're looking like they could do now. I still think they probably win at least 10 games in the conference, you know, 9 at the very least. But I don't know if they're going to get up to 12, 13 in that range. If you would ask me this last week, I would have said Wisconsin, and I would have felt very vindicated in that response now.
Yeah, who is their next games? Do you have that pulled up right now?
Yes. Wisconsin is...
Because I'm like, that's probably the team right now that
it stinks. I'm most... This week
especially now that
many.
I have them ranked one, they got Rutgers and then Coppin State. Oh my God.
We have good games. They play Illinois on Tuesday. We have good games on Tuesday, and then we have one good game on Thursday, and then we don't have anything until Saturday, really. Friday, we have Indiana.
Who plays
Nebraska.
Illinois on Tuesday?
Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. I was talking about Penn State.
Oh, I'm sorry. Penn State.
As the team
Rutgers
that like
Tuesday.
I'm most interested now, especially now that I have them ranked number one. And I did post on Twitter, have not looked at the replies, but I can already feel like the tension coming out of my computer screen that people are mad about that. So I'm very interested to see what they do at Rutgers. What would that be tomorrow night? Like if they go in and blow out Rutgers, then it's like, well, what do you want them to do? People will be like, well, Rutgers isn't that good. Okay, but this is their schedule. I know we kind of knocked Indiana for having like a crappy schedule, but they have played Virginia Tech. They have played Clemson. They lost. You know, they have the Purdue win now. So,
yeah.
Out of the 9 games that they've played, 3 of them have been against like what we would say in football P4 competition. So, I like them a lot, man. I think there's a lot to like about Penn State right now. And it starts and ends with Coach Rhodes.
Mike Rhodes, great guy. I just checked your tweet for you. A couple net responses, you know, because Illinois is number one in net right now in the Big Ten. So those responses, and then Iowa fans are mad at you.
What? I'm going to post yours inside in the replies of every Iowa fan. Like, go get JR instead.
No, you have Northwestern above Iowa. So they're all mad at you for that.
Yeah, which, like, I know not all of them are watching this or are going to watch this, but, like, I feel like I did a good job explaining why in that.
Yeah. John says Indiana plays tonight and then doesn't play until Friday at Nebraska. What kind of schedule is that?
I don't understand their scheduling. It's so weird, John. I don't get it.
It's been like
that for like 2 weeks now, for me at least. And then again, maybe it's because I wasn't paying attention to these like smaller games that they were playing, and I haven't really like been locked in on watching them. And since that tournament where they got blown out by Louisville, and I forget who they played the next day and actually won, but yeah, I haven't been locked in on them as much as I probably should be, but I will be tonight, though.
Yeah, the schedule this week is not fantastic for Big Ten basketball. Tonight, you do at least get Indiana, Minnesota, so that's a game you can watch tonight. But that starts at 6:30, so, like, you're just, like, you know, that's a game that I would like to watch after my kids go to bed. But, you know.
Put them to bed at 6. Sorry, sure. Kids. Daddy's got to watch basketball. You know the rules.
Tuesday's a good slate. Penn State, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, Arkansas. That's good.
Tuesdays have been killing me because that's the night that I scheduled which this is completely my fault, but my twins are both playing and I coach both their teams back to back at 6 and 7. So yeah. I have missed like some massive games. It seems like every Tuesday has been the best night of basketball every week. It's killing me, man.
Do you have Peacock?
I do. Well, I have somebody else's login for it. Yeah. Shout out to Brad.
Well, that's good because you have both the Penn State and the Wisconsin game tonight on Peacock. So, and those are easy to go back and watch on those. And then Michigan's on ESPN. So I don't think you can go back and rewatch ESPN games, can you?
So I have YouTube TV and I just add all the teams to the library. Like I watched, I was telling you before we jumped on here that I watched that UCLA Oregon game starting at like 12:30 a.m. last night. And actually, you know, I don't do that a lot. I don't go back and watch a lot of games, but it's way better like that. Even though you know the result already, because you just skip all the commercials, you can watch a game in basically 40 minutes or like, you know, an hour. You can get the
Sometimes
whole game
when I'm
in.
At work, if things are slow, I'll sit here and watch a game while I'm just like doing mindless work on my computer. And it's nice. I like doing it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk. Should we talk Michigan State and then UCLA and then get and then be done?
We got to go Michigan State and then like the UCLA Oregon combo, I feel like, and then we're done. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's do
Michigan Why don't I ask you a question? I'll take over hosting for a second. Why do you think that Michigan State deserves to be number one right now? Because I have them all the way down at 5.
Yeah. So this week they beat Minnesota and Nebraska, thrashed both of them, and they were the only team that I had in my top 6 that won both their games this week. Everybody else either lost a game or didn't win a game overall in my top 6. The next one was Penn State. So Penn State, like, they, you know, they beat Purdue, but that was literally their only game they played this week. So I do, you know, want to give Penn State credit for that. But I don't know, like, I don't want to just, like, vault teams to the top of the rankings. Like, this isn't football. Like, there's so much more to go off of than just one game. So I don't want to vault a team up to the top of the rankings just because they, you know, got a big win and kind of disregard everything else. I want to kind of, you know, congratulate the teams that are being consistently good. And I was concerned about Michigan State's front court going into the season, but Jackson Cole has really come on these past couple games and he's looked a whole lot better. Xavier Booker is looking good on the defensive end. And so, you know, for me, it's not like, I don't think they have like a 5-man that's going to fix everything for him, but Jaden Akins looks good. Jace Richardson looks good. Jackson Kohler, he's a rebounding machine, averaging over eight rebounds a game right now. So I think they look really complete in what they're doing. We'll see what happens when they play somebody good. I don't know when they play next, though. I just went through all those teams. They don't play until... Jeez,
I just had it pulled up. Wait, what? They don't play till next week?
They don't play Oakland next Tuesday.
What?
That's ridiculous.
How do you have a whole week off?
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy.
That's worse than Indiana. I was going to add on to what you were saying, kind of focusing on Michigan State's offense, too, has been, to put it nicely, it's been less clunky than what we've come to expect like the last couple seasons from them offensively. Like, didn't feel like they were smooth. It didn't feel like they were running their sets the way that Coach Izzo would want them to run it. And it feels like early on, especially in those last two games. Now, Minnesota, I didn't put a lot of stock into. I expected them to win that game by about that exact amount. But the Nebraska blowout, go back and watch that game, and it's like, this offense is humming right now. Like, they have everything figured out. They're throwing lobs. I don't even know what the kid's name was. Dude fell down and was on his butt on the wing, like almost behind the three-point line, and threw a lob to Cohen Carr, and he dunked it. He was on the floor. They're throwing lobs from the floor right now. Like, what? How's that happening? So I just feel like everything's kind of going right for Michigan State right now, which is weird because it's usually – the beginning of the season, we see Michigan State so bad and they start turning it on late, like after Christmas, after the new year. And they've started to figure it out real early this time.
Yeah. I mean, they had their games where they struggled against, who did they lose to in the tournament? They beat North Carolina and they lost
Memphis.
To Kansas and Memphis. Yeah. Memphis just lost to somebody.
Memphis just lost to Arkansas State, and I'm glad you just brought that up. And real quick, that's one of the reasons I didn't put Michigan State higher. I think that they should be in the top five because they've been playing so good. But I go back and look at everybody else's losses and what those losses, the teams that they lost to, what they did after that. So when I saw that Memphis lost to Arkansas State, I was like, well, wait a minute here. Maybe that was a bad loss for Michigan State. Maybe I got to bump them down a little bit. So, but all these teams up at the top, though, like 1 through 7 for me, are all teams that I think could, that you could put a place a bet on right now to win the conference, and you're not, it's not a dumb bet. Any of the teams that I have, like all the way down to Illinois, I think is a solid bet. So Michigan State's still a great team, and a lot can transfer, or a lot can change throughout the next couple of weeks. And it will change a lot for me. Unlike what you just said, I like moving teams around a lot. I think I had Penn State 8 last week. I bumped them all the way up to number 1. I think that's fun.
I mean, it is fun, but I try not to be too reactionary. I try to let teams, you know,
but it's so
get
fun though.
Move up. Yeah, no, I get it. All right. UCLA, Oregon. Oregon loses that game. UCLA shot the lights out, 12-23 from the three-pointer. Oregon, let me get my split box score up here.
Didn't you say, because we talked about this before, didn't you say Oregon shot like 9 of 21? Yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, they were even free throws. UCLA's 5 of 7. Oregon was 10 of 14. Oregon did shoot better overall from the field slightly, 26 of 55 to UCLA's 28 of 62. But Oregon, they pounded the paint better in this one. It was just UCLA's three-point shooting that I think won in the game in this one. What'd you think?
Yeah, so like I said, this is the most recent game that I've watched, so I feel like I have a better grasp of what happened in this game. And
but you did watch it at 2 a.m., so.
Yeah, like just a couple hours ago. I basically watched that game and then took a nap and got on here. So it's really fresh on my mind right now. But I think that both of these teams are great, though. Like, when I'm watching this game, I'm like, these two teams could beat anyone, not only in the Big Ten, but in the country, I think. I think they're both really good. I obviously put UCLA in front of Oregon just slightly because they just went to Oregon's house and beat them. And full disclosure, I did have Oregon lower than this, like right before the show. And the reason why I changed it is because of the great John Fanta. I actually replied to his top 25 tweet where he had Oregon at 14 and UCLA at 23 and kind of just asked him about that. And by the way, I have like more respect for John Fanta than almost anybody that does college basketball media. And I'm also extremely terrified of him because if you get on his bad side, the internet will turn on you. So I was trying to be really nice in the replies.
Listen, I watched a bowling championship the other day on FS1. It was after one of the football games or after one of the basketball games. I think it was after Wisconsin yesterday. But John Fanta was doing the bowling coverage. So the dude has range.
Dude, he's one of my favorites. He's great. But I basically asked him why. I thought he posted this rankings before the end of that game last night, but he actually said, I waited until that game was over, and Oregon's body of work is still better than UCLA's, he said. And he pointed out that UCLA lost to New Mexico, which I think you brought this up, or maybe not. I can't remember at this point, but New Mexico went and lost to New Mexico State. So he's kind of saying that UCLA has a worse loss than Oregon. But going back to my point, Oregon's loss is UCLA. So for me to do a Big Ten power rankings and say, well, let's look at the losses. Oregon's is a better loss, but it's against the team that I'm comparing them against. So I have to put UCLA in front, I think, especially because it was at Oregon. Like if it was at UCLA, I could see that the argument is like, okay, well, that was a really close game and Oregon wins that if they were at home or if they were on a neutral, but it was at Oregon. So there's no excuses, you know? And really, I talked to you about this before we started. I thought UCLA controlled the game. I thought that the two guards, I'm still learning everyone's name on the West Coast teams, but the two guards for Oregon were unbelievable, especially in the second half. Like,
you meant to say Oregon controlled the game. You said UCLA. You meant to say
no, I said, I'm saying UCLA controlled the game. Oh, Oregon's shooting got them back into it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Is what I was saying. Like, I thought that UCLA controlled the pace. I thought that they, you know, starting the second half, they had a bigger lead, and then it started getting back and forth, but it was all because Oregon was hitting massive shots, and they were all contested. Like, it wasn't like, you know, UCLA had breakdowns on defense and Oregon was getting open shots. That wasn't the case. They were just shooting the lights out, contested three. So I still feel like UCLA is a better team, and that's why I put them in front of Oregon. And because of my wife and Dan Lanning.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, for me, I had UCLA so low, and I had Oregon so high. I didn't feel like a UCLA win over Oregon could propel them that much. And then I was like, okay, so why do I have UCLA that low? Like, what was it? And it was the New Mexico loss. Like,
yeah,
New Mexico was never really good enough for me to, you know, have UCLA lose to them and still be in the top half of the Big Ten. Like, there's other teams in the top half that have lost to better teams, and I kind of give them credit for that. But UCLA, I couldn't. Well, then UCLA beats Oregon, and I'm like, okay, that's great, but they still have this New Mexico loss, and it's really hard for me to try and say, like, okay, UCLA can vault up 10 spots in the power rankings, and Oregon goes down too, just because, you know, that was my that's how they won or whatever. Like, at the end of the day, Michigan still beat teams. Michigan State still beat teams. Oregon still won a game. Like, Penn State still beat Purdue, and Purdue still won a game against Maryland. So, like, can I really drop them down that low? So I'm going with the opinion that if UCLA is that good, they will keep winning and they will keep moving up the power rankings next week as well.
Yeah, that's fair too. And also, the way that you say that makes me feel really dumb, because I just basically used that same argument for Michigan State, and now I'm throwing it out the window for UCLA. And here's the deal. I will be unfair, and I'll be biased if I want to. And you can reply in the comments as long as you say happy birthday at the end. Tell me why I'm wrong. Just got to say happy birthday at the end. I'm sorry. You have to. Otherwise, I'm not reading it.
Well, you'd have to read it to see they said
happy. No, I'm going to read it from the bottom up, though. Oh. So if it says happy birthday at the end, I'll go back up to the top of the comment. That's easy enough.
You got a Michigan State fan. I keep refreshing your tweet because I want to see what everybody's mad at you for. But nobody's saying happy birthday at the end. You should have put the happy birthday.
That's bad. That's bad. I'm going to have to tell them that, like, they can't talk junk to me. It's my birthday.
Yeah.
I'm actually probably not even going to look at it today, to be honest.
There you go.
There's going to be people, like, yelling into the open void. Like, I'm not even going to read them.
Oh boy. All right. I think that's everything for this episode. So anything else you want to get to before we get out of here, Kent?
I don't think so. I think we kind of covered it all. Like, fun week. This was a fun week. And I feel like each week we get a little bit better of an understanding of what some of these teams are. And I'm looking forward to another fun week. I'm not looking forward to the non-con games, though. I hate that we got, like, almost teased with this. Like, I wish it was all non-conference. And then once Big Ten play started, it was just Big Ten play the rest of the year. Kind of like football.
I'm thankful for the conference games in the middle because of teams like Indiana who need to play somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying, I wish it just started at the same time for everybody, and then it just was conference the rest of the year, though.
Sorry, Philip.
That's okay. You don't have to do that. My kids did it for me this morning.
Okay, good. Good. We should have got a video of it, and they could have just sang happy birthday to you at the end.
I'm going to see if I can get Coach Collins to wish me a happy birthday.
There you go. Post it on
I really want to, like, I feel like I'm carrying the load for Northwestern so much. I feel like at some point I need to be invited to a game. Why hasn't that happened yet?
Well, the people in the comments are saying that you are the worst Northwestern fan they know. So
they're saying maybe, I'm the worst.
Yeah. Or I don't know if they're being sarcastic, but yeah. Anyway, don't worry about it. You can look at it later. They're not. He also didn't say happy birthday. So
I'm meditating.
All right. That's all we got today. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. Go tell Kent happy birthday on Twitter @BigTenCasual. Go tell him happy birthday. We'll see you later, everybody. Have a good one.